I appreciate you guys being here this morning. I know that sometimes this is an easy time for us to kind of forget about coming to church, family in, all these different things, traveling, going here and going there. But I appreciate you guys being here this Sunday morning to worship with us. And I do apologize that that our pastor Chase was not here. And so we're having to shift some things around. And so we usually have one of our elders speak. And so I got a chance to speak again this morning. And I just love every opportunity I get to communicate the Word of God, and especially here with this church family. And so Chase called me last night, and he just wanted to pray with me and for me, and I really appreciated that. He's having a good trip. I believe they come back today. They might be traveling tomorrow. I thought it was today, though. But I do appreciate his prayers. There is power in prayer. And when we pray so that God will do things. And so he prayed over me that God would just empower me and give me the words to speak. And I appreciated that because I believe God will do that when we ask him to do things. And so as we begin this morning, I just want to pray for us one more time that God will just be over our time and he'll open our eyes to this scripture and what we're going to be going through. And so let's pray together one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. God, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together as the body of Christ. And Lord, we're learning just throughout the last number of weeks what that really looks like for the bride of Christ to come together and how we're supposed to function. And God, what you've called us to and what you surrendered for us. And Lord, I thank you for that. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Pastor Chase just being able to communicate that to us. And Lord, I just want to lift him up to you right now as he is probably at his brother's church. God, I pray that you will bless their service this morning. And God, you will just speak to them and those in that congregation. And God, you will just bless them with just an incredible time of connecting with you and hearing your word. And Lord, I pray for us here together this morning, God, that you will be the center of everything that we do. God, it's not about Chase, it's not about Thomas, it's not about any elder, it's not about any member, it's just about the body of Christ coming together. And God, we want to worship you and we want to seek you. And so, Lord, I know that, God, I know that I'm not worthy to stand up here and be used by you, but God, you chose me. You chose me long ago for this very moment. And so, Lord, I cry out to you. I need you. I need you to speak for me. I need you to let your spirit just speak through me. And God, let nothing that I say be from me. Let it all be because of the leading of the spirit that lives inside of me. And Lord, I thank you for that spirit that lives inside of me that you gave me when I surrendered my life to you. And Lord, I know that there are some here that need to have that themselves. They need to surrender their lives. And so, Lord, I pray through the truth of the songs that we just sing, through the truth of the words that we're going to share out of your scriptures this morning, God, I pray that that truth will ring out in their hearts. And God, it will allow us to accept you for who you are into our lives. And Lord, I pray for the folks that are here this morning that need that encouragement. God, that revitalization, I guess. Sometimes we all need that. God, I pray that your word will just speak to them. And Lord, you just ignite a fire inside of us to burn bright for you. Jesus, we give you the thanksgiving and the praise. And Lord, we just ask that your will be done as we pray all of this in your name. Amen. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2. If you guys want to turn over there, I believe it'll be up on your screen, but I think it's a good idea just to have it open. If you guys want to write some things down, we give you that sheet inside the worship folder so you can write things down. So I just encourage you, if something stands out to you, it's probably God saying something to you. And we should probably just write that down because maybe you're not like me, but I have to do that because if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget it. It's just going to be gone. And so I just encourage you, if you feel like, wow, that's something that I didn't realize, or if you feel like it's something that's just highlighted in your life today and you need to just jot that down, I encourage you to do that because most likely that is the Spirit of God leading you to do that. And so as I was contemplating on what to share this morning, this is always the hardest part. deciding what to share. When you get to speak on a regular basis to a group of people, you can have a series or you can go through certain things, and it kind of lays it out and it makes it a little bit easier to do that. But as I only get to speak here just every so often, and we're kind of at the end of a series that Pastor Chase was doing, and here I come jumping in, and I'm like, all right, what am I going to speak about? God, what are you laying on my heart? And I labor over that. I mean, I spend time in prayer. I go out into the woods or up on the parkway or something, and I'm like, God, what do I speak on? I don't know what it is you want me to speak on. I spend time in my office, and I sit there with my Bible open, and I want to do like this Bible roulette thing where you just kind of go, okay, God, I'm going to speak on that. And you're like, no, I'm not. And then, you know, and so I felt like, you know, Pastor Chase, we've been talking about the purpose of the church and what we're supposed to look like as the body of Christ. And we've been emphasizing this idea that we're supposed to be out there. We're supposed to be sharing our faith. The believers in this room, if you're a member of this church, if you've accepted Christ into your life, we've talked about our responsibility as believers is to take what we know, to share with others. I love in our small groups at this church, we start every small group by asking each other, hey, who's had an opportunity to share Christ this week? And hopefully, it's not this silence. It's not this. That's uncomfortable, isn't it? Yeah, you don't want that. You're like, someone speak, someone say something. But we don't have those opportunities. And so to avoid those silences, we just want to give each other encouragement to say, okay, are you doing it? Are you going out there? Are you talking to somebody? Are we telling the waiter or the waitress, maybe in a small way, hey, I don't know if you go to church anywhere. I'd love to invite you to my church. Hey, how can I pray for you? You know, we'd love to, you know, maybe that person at the gas station when you're standing out there pumping gas. Hey, how you doing today? Oh, good. Yeah. Hey, man, nice car. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, I was just wondering, I go to a really great church. Do you go to church anywhere? We have so much fun. I'd love to invite you to come to our church if you don't go to one. You know, we're out there. We're making ourselves uncomfortable. We're learning how to be like stars that shine. And so I was like, this is one of my favorite passages. We're in Philippians chapter 2. And I was like, all right, God, we're going to talk about how do we really live out our faith in the world that you've placed us in. And so he just led me to this. And I hope you guys glean something from this. Because even as I go through this myself, okay, God brings conviction on my life. I wish that I could say I did this flawlessly, I did this perfectly, but I don't. I feel very comfortable going out and sharing my faith. I feel very comfortable asking the waiter or the waitress if I can pray for them, but I don't do it all the time. I don't do it like I should be doing it. And so I love going through this because it's a reminder to me, and hopefully it's just a reminder to some of you. But there might be some in here today that you're not comfortable doing that. And you're like, oh, no, you're out of my comfort zone there. I'm not going to be doing that. And hopefully this will be the encouragement that you need to start being a light that shines, not for yourself, but for the glory of God. I just want to read this before we start. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. And I'm reading from the New International Version. I like this version. I really prefer the older version of the NIV that was printed in 1984, but they made a new one, and I don't prefer it as much, but this passage was okay, and on my Bible app, I can just cut and paste, and I can't find the old 1984 one, and I didn't want to sit there and type the whole thing out, and so this was close enough. It was pretty much word for word, just a couple words a little different, and it didn't make a difference, but it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. As I start to read that, it starts off with the word therefore. And I was always taught when I went to Bible college and when I listened to pastors coming up, and I'm sure you guys are very familiar with this, when you hear the word therefore, you find out what it's there for. Okay? So I wanted to go back, and we're talking about, Paul is really hammering down here, shining like stars, being different, going out and being a light for Christ. And so we're going to find out, why is he saying all of this? And so when we look back into what Paul was just talking about before he started encouraging the Philippians, you know, I want you to go be a light. I want you to shine for Jesus. Why does he say this? He says this because he just finished talking about how we're supposed to have the same attitude as Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be that that reflection. And he talks about the humility and the sacrifice that Jesus surrendered in his own life in order that Christ be glorified, that to the glory of God the Father, but so that we can be lights that shine for him. He says this. He says, this is one of my favorite passages as well. If there is any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit, are your hearts tender and compassionate, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together for one mind and purpose. And he says this, this is huge here. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ had. And then he goes on to explain, even Jesus Christ, who was God, he made himself in the flesh and he died on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He sacrificed everything. And that's who we're supposed to be in order that we might shine for his glory. Do you see that? The therefore, he's leading up to that. He did this in order that we might be a light for him in this dark world. And I absolutely love that. I'm amazed at what Jesus did here and how that's just spelled out and how he was able to just lay down everything. The king of the universe, he gave up his throne. He gave up his rights. He gave up his command of legions of angels. And he says, I'm going to come and I'm going to be one of you. I'm going to not only just be one of you, I'm going to come in the most humble of ways. I'm going to be low among you, and yet I'm going to serve you. I'm going to be the king of the universe, yet I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to have the commands of angels, yet I'm going to surrender my body as a sacrifice on a cross so that you could have the forgiveness of sins, so that your life can be a light that shines for the glory of God after I'm gone, so that people will know the glory of God the Father. I love that. It's just exciting. It's amazing to me, but it's all about the humility and the sacrifice. So as we start talking about shining like stars and we start talking about how to be a witness for Christ and how to live our lives for Jesus, and I think I can say pretty confidently, I think our church is a little different. I think our church is different in the fact that we're not a normal church in today's society. We don't have a lot of people that live for themselves here. I truly believe we are a church that lives for the Lord. We are a church that understands sacrifice. We're a church that understands it's not about me, it's about Jesus. It's about him. And so I feel confident in saying that we are a little bit different, but there are many people out there who don't understand that. There are many people out there that don't understand why we truly worship God. And I think there's a false gospel that's being spread. It's a gospel of, hey, you want to live a great life. You want to experience just true, you know, happiness and joy, all of that together. No problems in your life. You want to be free from diseases. You want to be free from poverty. You want to be free from all of these things. Just come pray a prayer. Just pray a prayer and ask Jesus into your heart. Be baptized. Start coming to our church and start giving us your tithes, and then you'll be fine. That's all you got to worry about. And I think there's a gospel out there that goes like that. I think there's a lot of churches out there that are starting to grow into these massive groups of people because they like that idea. And they're like, that's a gospel I can get on board with. You know, if I surrender to that, then I'm good. That's great. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change. I don't have to be different. All I got to do is show up to church every once in a while. Sign me up. That's great. I'm not going to go to hell. Perfect. I like that idea. I don't want to go to hell. You want to go to hell? I'm going to pray and ask this Jesus into my life. And I think we've gotten into this idea that that's who Jesus is. And we've forgotten all about this humility that Christ showed. And we've forgotten all about this sacrifice that Christ laid down. And then we've forgotten especially about how we're called to be like him. That's huge. So Paul, he goes on to say here. Now, obviously, I believe Paul is speaking to a group of believers because he says this. He's already visited the people of Philippi, and now he's writing them a letter just to encourage them. And he says this. He says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed. So obviously, this is a group of people that when he was around them, they were obeying Christ. They were doing the things. Paul was this traveling evangelist. He would spend time with these different churches to build them up, to get them in the knowledge of the Lord. And then he would depart from them when he felt like, okay, God's calling me somewhere else now. We're pretty established here. And if they weren't, he would leave one of his companions there and say, continue the work here. God's calling me over here. And so he's speaking to these people, as you have always obeyed, he says, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Okay, I don't know if you guys are anything like me, but I'm the type of person, okay, I need encouragement and that fellowship around me to be motivated to do certain things, okay? When I go out to eat with somebody, if I see them drinking a soda pop, I'm going to drink a soda pop too because I have no encouragement to just drink water. I should be drinking just water. It would be much better for me. Now, if the person I were with says, you know what, I'm going to drink water today just so I can live a little healthier, I might go, I'll try that too. I can do that. But I usually don't, okay? Because the people I go out with usually order a drink or something like that. I'm like, I'll get a drink too. When I go to the gym, I have to have people surrounding me that are doing the same things. I need to see other people involved in some of the same activities. When I go to the gym, I see these people over here lifting weights. These people over here are running on the treadmill. These people over here are part of an aerobic class or something like that. And they're on a bike machine or something like that. Or they're running around the track. It gives me that kind of enjoyment, and I'm like, all right, I can get into this. And my fire starts getting built up a little bit for working out. But now when I try to work out at home, oh, you forget it, all right? Because I'll turn the TV on, and I'll sit there, and I'll start off. We got some dumbbells and stuff like that, and I can do some push-ups. And so I'll start off, I'll do a couple push-ups, and, you know, by maybe the second time I do a group of push-ups, I start to get a little sore, and I'm like, that wasn't fun. That actually started to hurt a little bit, and I'm just going to sit on the couch and watch a little TV, and I'll take a little break, and that break gets longer and longer. I might grab some dumbbells and do this number here and then put them down and take a little bit longer break and be like, I can finish it later. Nah, I can put it off until later, and then I'll be like, you know what would really be good? A bag of chips. Yeah, I think I'll get a bag of chips. And so I'll go get a bag of chips, and then I'll sit down, and I'm like, oh, but that ranch dip is really good, too. So I'll get the ranch dip, and it's really just sour cream, and that's just awful for you. But you mix it up, and it's like, it's wonderful. And so I wind up just sitting on the couch eating ranch dip and chips instead of working out because I don't have that fellowship around me. I don't have that voice inside me saying, this is what you need to be doing, and kind of putting fuel to that fire. Okay, this is the reason I love camp ministry so much, is because at camp, we can come to a place where we can push away all these distractions. Okay, I worked at this camp out in Missouri after I graduated high school for about 4 years. And the camp was actually one of these longer camps. The kids stayed for 26 days. And one of the things that we got to do with these kids for 26 days, I loved it because we had the opportunity to just break down the walls, to break down the barriers, because we were surrounded by Jesus all the time. And these kids, I would see this fire just build up inside of them. I would see this excitement for God just grow in them, because for the last 26 days, all they heard was voice from God. They didn't hear a voice from anything else. They weren't listening to secular music. They weren't watching television shows. They weren't reading magazines. They didn't have the internet. They just heard from God. Their daily routine, it was a sports camp, and so we centered everything we did around playing games and sports and training them and teaching them. But their day, they would wake up in the morning. When I was a counselor, I would sit in this room with them. I would wake them up, and I would play Christian music just to wake them up. And so they would wake up hearing the word of God as they awoke. They would kind of clean up and get ready. I would gather these guys together, me and my co-counselor, and we'd say, man, let's just pray for the morning. Let's just pray that God will bless us today. God will give us victory in some things, and God will just, just be with us and protect us. And they'd be like, yeah, let's do that. And so we would pray. We would clean up a little bit, and then we'd go to breakfast. And we'd stand around this table, and we'd all put our arms around each other, and we'd sing a song that just glorified God. You know, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. We'd sing that, and then someone would pray, and we would ask God to bless our food. And then we would eat, and we would fellowship with one another, and we're having a good time, just laughing, goofing off. And then these guys would go back down to their cabins, they would change their clothes, and they had periods during the day, like class, like school, first, second, third, before lunch, after lunch, fourth, fifth, and sixth. And all of those were just filled with sports. Okay, I've got soccer first and second period, and then third period I get to go down to the water and be in a boat. And then after lunch I got soccer again for fourth period, and then fifth and sixth period I get to go down and do the blob, and I get to play in the lake. And that was their day. But see, before each class, what we were doing, my job was to just take these kids out on the water. I got in a boat, and these kids were all excited to be in the boat, and I'd say, hey, guys, I had five or six kids in this boat, and I'd say, let's just pray. Let's ask God to protect us today. And they'd be like, all right, cool. And we would pray. And then as I get a kid behind the boat and I'm pulling him and he's learning how to overcome some fears, he's learning how to experience victory in his life, I'm sitting at the kid that's sitting next to me watching him. And I'm like, man, tell me how your day's going. Tell me what God's been teaching you while you've been here. Tell me what do you expect. Tell me about your life. And we're sitting there and we're talking about God and everything we're doing surrounded by God. We're just getting built up. And I can imagine these folks, when Paul comes to town, it's like these revivals are happening. And they're just around him all the time because they want to learn as much as possible. And so they're getting this fuel just added to their fire. And that's just building up. And it's growing. And then he says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now I've been removed from you. Much more in my absence, because I know it's harder, because that excitement is gone. I remember the first year I worked at camp, 2 weeks I spent there before I took a night off. And I've shared this story. Some of you guys have heard this, but it's just a great one. I felt like I was in this protective bubble. I felt like I was just in this place that just Satan couldn't touch us because we didn't allow anything to come in there to penetrate what was going on. And it was a great feeling. And I remember my first night off, I drove to the gate, and I had to sign out, and I pulled my car outside the gate, and I start driving down the road, and as soon as I pulled outside the gate, I just felt like this, ooh. And it was like this darkness just overcame me. And I was like, I don't like this. I wanted to go back, but I had to wash clothes, and the only laundry machine was in town. And I was like, I want to go back right now. This is not good. Okay, and what Paul is saying here, I think they might have experienced the same thing that I've experienced. Maybe sometimes you guys experience this kind of feeling. You know, we have these moments that God uses to build us up, but he's preparing us to send us out. I wanted to go back, but I was like, I've got some things I've got to do. And Lord, this is what you've been preparing me for. You've been preparing me during this time to go out into this dark world, to go out into this place that feels this way all the time. Man, what if they started experiencing what I experienced in there? Can I take some of that with me and try to help lead them to it? Yeah, I can. And that's what God was calling me to. He was using that time to build us up. You guys, we use church that way. We use our fellowship, our small groups that way. We come together and we let this fire build inside of us. But then sometimes, like these folks here, he said, but now much more in my absence. Much more in my absence, he continues on and says, continue to work out your salvation. Continue to work it out. You guys, this is something we have to continue growing in. Because if we just rely, I hated seeing the kids from year to year. Because I would see this excitement for God when they left our camp. And then somewhere along the way, all these other influences started taking over. And that fire that was built up started to slowly dwindle and die. And it faded away. And I hated seeing that. And you guys, we use church this way. We use certain people this way, teachers this way. If we can't hear them, then we're going to let that fire die. Or we allow that experience to build us up inside. You know, we come to church and we're like, okay, that's going to be my fuel for the whole week. And maybe by the end of the week, some of that fire has just died. And we long to just say, okay, I got to get back to church because that's where my fuel's going to be built up. And Paul is saying, I don't want that to be the case. He's saying, even more in my absence, work out your salvation. Work it out. What does that mean? It means we've got to be hard laboring after this. We've got to be picking up this book and saying, okay, what are the influences that I need in my life? God, how do I bring glory to you? God, how do I keep that fire going? By keeping your presence in my life all the time. By reminding myself why I do some of the things that I do. By getting into the scripture and hearing your words, God. That's how I keep that fire going. I don't want that fire to die. I don't want it to fade out. I want to keep going. I want to be a light that shines for you. But he says this, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I believe in our society, we've lost the fear of God. Maybe not all of us, but I say as a whole, we've lost a fear of God. And I hate to say this. I'm sure sometimes I've lost the fear of God. Sometimes, and I hate saying that. I hate admitting that to you. But we don't think about the consequences. We don't think about how it affects. All we think about is us, and we have this self-centered kind of idea and this self-centered mode that we just put ourselves in. And Paul says, I want you to work out. I want you to keep working out your salvation. And so our salvation is something we must always work toward, okay? It's not work for. We can't earn our salvation. We just talked about that. And we even sang about that. This is amazing grace. So we can't earn it. But we have to work towards it. I love what James says here. He says in James 2, he says, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Our faith and our deeds have got to be working together. If we really have this trust in God, if we really have this faith in Jesus Christ, our lives will be different and we'll be affected by it. We will live differently than the world. We will shine like stars in this universe. And he's going to talk about this. But I understand sometimes it gets hard. Sometimes it's a lot easier to not have that fear because we don't think about the consequences. Or sometimes we can remove ourselves from the authority. We see it in players who don't fear their coaches. And they just think, I'll just play for another team. I had a kid that I really wanted to play on my soccer team this year. And he didn't play for me because he felt like I ran the boys too much. I ran these kids who play soccer too much. And I'm like, you can never run too much in soccer. That's what soccer is. You run, you kick a ball, and then you chase after that ball by running. I'm like, we're going to get in shape. And he's like, my other coach over here doesn't make me do that. I'll just go play for him. Because he told me that's you're coaching a bad way and you're not supposed to make us run so much. I tell you what, that's one of the craziest things I've ever heard in my life. I mean, it really is. No, we run too much in soccer. What? That's insane. But yet he chose to remove himself from this authority and say, I like what this guy's teaching me over here better. And so we remove ourselves from that authority. I've seen children who don't fear their parents. The common thing is when they start to get older, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just going to move out soon and I'm not going to be under your authority. They've lost that fear because they don't think about the consequences. I've seen workers who don't fear their employers. I'll just get another job. He can't tell me what to do. I'll just get another job. And I see people who don't fear God. You know what? I'll just go to another church that doesn't communicate it that way. I'll just go to another church over here that makes me feel good about myself rather than challenge me to change my life. And so that's what I'll choose to do because I really don't want to change my life. I just want that security of salvation. I just want that security of knowing that I'm going to go to heaven. What motivates us to follow God? Is your motivation just simply because you don't want to go to hell? You want to get out of that? Or is your motivation to say, I just want to glorify you because you're amazing. That's awesome. And I want everyone to see how wonderful you are. That should be our motivation. That should be what brings us to Christ. is that excitement to bring glory to him, that excitement to say, I want to shine for you, not for me. But yet a lot of times what that motivation is oh, I just don't want to go to hell. So I'll kind of do this thing over here, but I'll, you know, not really fearing you. I know you can send me to hell, but that's it. So that's all you require of me. That's all I'm going to do. And we get into that habit. And that scares me. And I hate to say that there have been times that I've been there. When faced with sin, when faced with things, I know I shouldn't be doing this. It's just easier for me to fall into it because sometimes I get lazy. Sometimes it's hard and difficult. But I feel like Christians now, we almost live as like lawyers when it comes to the scripture. We live and we try to know the scripture so well so we can find the loopholes in being able to act the way we want to act. And we find these loopholes that say, well, it doesn't quite say that. So, you know, we can read into this and we can manipulate this. And that's what a lot of pastors, that's what a lot of people do nowadays. They live for the loopholes instead of for the truth that's actually found in the scriptures. And so Paul continues on here. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That's amazing to me. He's calling us to be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved, or what does this version say? In a warped and crooked generation. The old one says a crooked and depraved. That's where they changed it a little bit. In a warped and crooked generation. That's a high calling. Blameless and pure. I read somewhere in scripture where Jesus says, be perfect, therefore as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's what we strive for. That should be our goal. That should be our mark. This is what we're trying to attain. That's hard. That's really difficult. But then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. You're going to shine among them. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like to be like a movie star or a rock star or like a real, you know, famous person. But I think one time I came pretty close to knowing what it felt like. Okay? Some of you guys saw this picture that my wife posted on Facebook this past Halloween. We dressed up. My son is probably now going to want to beat me up for showing this one. He's Rocky Balboa. And so I thought it was pretty good. My daughter is somebody from Hairspray. The musical Hairspray. She just did her hair like that. And my wife tried to match me in kind of being from that same time frame. But I'm always, this is just my Halloween costume. I feel like Ron Swanson. This is my Halloween costume. Okay, this is who I am. I don't change my Halloween costume from year to year. I'm Jack Sparrow. That's who I am. I get into it. I got a really nice costume, and I grew my beard out really long. You guys saw that, and a lot of you were probably thinking, why in the world does he have that on his face? Okay? And I did it for this motivation. I don't know why I started doing it. I was like, you know, I just kept letting it grow, and I was like, I'm going to do this for Halloween. I'm going to be Jack Sparrow again. And those are going to be real ponytails on my face. Okay? One year, I actually super glued these little fake ponytails to my chin. And it was crazy because as I glued it to my chin, I felt my skin just burning as it melted in. And I was like, ah, and then I had to do the second one because I couldn't just have one. That would look silly. You got this one little thing just dangling around over here. So I glued this other one to my face, and we were actually down at Myrtle Beach. And when I was the youth pastor years and years and years ago, we used to take a group of teenagers to on a retreat to Myrtle Beach every year. It's one of those things where we just wanted to pull them out of their normal society, pull them away from all their worldly influences and just pour into them. Just God, God, God all the time. And one of the games that we would play with the kids was we would take them to this place called Broadway at the Beach. And Broadway at the Beach is this outdoor shopping center. And I would guess on a busy night, there could be 10,000 plus people there. I mean, just place is huge and it's packed. And we would try to blend in. The leaders, we play Find the Leader. And the leaders, we would try to blend in with all the people. And the kids couldn't go in stores, but they would walk around in groups and they'd be competing against other to see who could find the most leaders. And I tried so hard to blend in. One year, I put a wig on. I put a Clemson hat on my head. And I bought a Clemson t-shirt. And I just felt like an idiot. I was like, who would wear this? And so, I'm sorry, David. And I thought, these kids would never think that I would lower myself to wear this because they all knew what a big Gamecock fan I was. And I would walk around with my head down, and I would try to change my walk a little bit, you know, walk a little weird. Every year, no matter what I did, the kids would find me. And it was awful. Every group would always find me. And so my value in the game was worthless, okay? Because it wasn't, you might as well, who cares about Thomas? No, everyone's going to find him. So I decided I'm going to have fun with this. I'm going to just start dressing up and having a good time. And so one year, I dressed up as Captain Jack Sparrow, and I walked onto the scene at Broadway at the beach. And if I ever felt like a superstar, this was the day I felt like a famous movie star, because I probably literally had anywhere, I couldn't count, I would guess 300 to 500 people took my picture that night. They came up to me and they were like, can we get our picture taken with you? You look great, this is awesome. And I'm like, yeah, come on. I'm kneeling down taking pictures with kids. I'm doing all this, you know, I'm having a great time. And kids are coming up to me, our kids are coming up to me, and I'm handing them little tickets with my name on it so they can say that they found me. But the whole time, I feel like, dude, people are noticing me. I had crowds around me. I had people asking me, they thought I worked there. They were like, man, you work here, this is cool. And one guy even asked me, dude, can you give me a job here? And I'm like, I don't work here, man. I was like, I'm playing a game with my church group. I'm just trying to have fun. But I felt like this is what it's like to be a star. This is what it's like to stand out. This is what it's like to make an impact in the society that I'm in. For people to notice me. People notice me. This is how I shine like a star. And at the end of the night, all I wanted to do was take those boots off that I had on. All I wanted to do was... I had to sit there with a fork and work for a couple hours just to pick that thing off my chin. I just wanted to come off. I wanted to take the makeup off that was in my eyes. I mean, I looked ridiculous. I looked like a dead person. I guess that's the whole point. But all I wanted to do was just, I was hot. I wanted to take the hat off, this wig that had all the long hair and the beads and stuff. I just wanted to take it off. I wanted to stop shining. I was tired. I can see why famous people, they try to hide. They try to blend in. They try to look as common as they can so people don't notice them. And it really started making me think, when we relate shining like stars in this universe for God's glory, you know, how do we make an impact on the society that we're in? How do people notice the difference in us? Sometimes we get the feeling like some of these stars do, because if they're not working, I was just thinking about this. If some of these stars aren't working at what makes them a star, then their light is going to fade away. We have sports figures. If they're not relevant, if they're not playing in the moment, we're going to forget about them. If a basketball star goes out and scores 30 points one night, and the next year he's not even playing in the NBA, we're going to forget who he is. And no one's going to be talking about him. And his stardom, his light is going to fade. I remember when Jeremy Lin, I think his name is, Lin Sanity, hit New York. He was a basketball player. And he just kind of came on. All of a sudden, he started just making all these kind of crazy shots. And he started doing all this great stuff. And that Lin Sanity that everyone was talking about quickly faded away, because he didn't keep up his level of play to where it was before. And so we kind of forgot about him. He got traded to another team. He wasn't as good. We don't remember him as much anymore. Movie stars, if they're not acting, if they're not in a movie that we think is good, we stop talking about them. They have to continue working to shine. Media stars, even people that are famous on Facebook and stuff like that, if they're not posting, if they're not putting out new videos for you to watch, we stop watching them. And business people, if they're not out there making deals, if they're not out there working as hard as they can, then their profits will start to fade and their name will start to dwindle. We need to be stars that are working hard to shine bright in our world. It says, when we are working hard to shine, we'll make a difference. We're going to make a difference. As I look at the stars in the universe, we've got a picture here. We often go outside sometimes and we see pictures sort of like that. you know, we see all these bright stars in the sky and we can think, man, those are these huge, just our version of the sun, but just bigger, hundreds of millions of light years away. And they're huge and they're making an impact even from a distance. We see this impact. We see something that's causing us to draw our attention to it. And we can imagine if we're stars that shine for God, if we're lights that shine for God, even those that are far off, they should see a difference in us. As they look into a dark world, they should be able to look and say, I can see that star shining. Can people see you shining, even the people that are far off? Can they see a difference in your life because you're living differently than the world? Because you're in a backdrop of just black darkness and you're a light that shines? Now imagine what that impact could be if you were up close and involved in somebody's life, like we have the sun here in our solar system. Look at what the sun does for us. It gives us heat. Without it, we would freeze to death. When we get closer to it, it affects our skin. It even changes the way we look. It'll make us darker. We put things on so it won't affect us that much. If some of us go out without putting protective layers on, then we'll just turn bright red because the sun has so much of effect on us. Imagine if we were like that for Christ. Imagine if we could step into someone's world and live for Christ in such a way that even they started to change. Even they started to become different because of the radiance of God blowing through us out on them. That's what we should be doing as Christians. That's what we're called to. It's amazing because he says here, how do we do this? As we hold, this is verse 16, as we hold firmly to the word of life, as we follow and obey this, as we hold firmly to this, not loosely, not just willy-nilly, it's we hold firmly to the word of life. This is what we need to cling to be different. This is what we need to cling to be that light that shines for his glory and not our own. And he says this, I love this. And then he says, if you're doing that, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. He's sitting here going, I want to be that light that shines so brightly on you that your life is different so that I know when I stand before God, he will say, man, you worked hard to let your light shine. You weren't earning your salvation. You did that because you loved me. You did that because you wanted my glory to be seen. It had nothing to do with you because he says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the service and sacrifice coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. He says, even if I get none of this glory on my own, even if no one recognizes me, all they're doing is recognizing God. That's what I care about. That's what's important to me because I want to shine for him, not for myself. I want everything I do to just be that radiance of Jesus Christ. He doesn't care where it comes from. And he says this, he goes back. I want to jump back just a second to verse 14. He says, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. How many times do we just, maybe we read something in here and we're just like, man, I don't want to do that. There's no way I want to do that. God, you want me to love my neighbor? God, do you know my neighbor? Okay, do you know what this person has done to me? Maybe it's not your physical neighbor, but God, you want me to love that person that was lying about me? You want me to love that person who just is so unlovable? Really? God, I don't want to do that. I'm tired, and I feel like all I want to do is I want to sit down, and I want to take the boots off, and I want to take the wig off, and I just want to blend in. That's all I want to do. I don't want to stand out anymore. I just want to be like everybody else. I want to relax. I want this to be easy, God. And he says, no. He says, continue to work out your salvation. He says, continue to work hard at it because I need you to be a light that shines for me. Yeah, I know they made up lies about you. I know they're unlovable. Go love on them. I know that your neighbor is not the nicest person in the world, but show them.